Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. I have a very special guest, actually two guests this morning, David Cole and his mother, Wendy. And Wendy, I forgot your last name.
Wharton.
Wendy Wharton. Wendy contacted me at the station a little while ago after I had done an interview with a remarkable man who had Parkinson's disease and just written a book about crop circles in England. And it was a wonderful interview. Unfortunately, Mark Schrader has passed, but it was great to be part of the celebration of the book that he had done. And after interviewing Mark, Wendy contacted me and she said, I have a guest you might want to interview, my son.
Who?
Who, you ask? Who?
Who
is sitting right in front of me right now? And you told me a little bit about the backstory. And the backstory was your son had a horrible head injury, a traumatic brain injury many years ago, but in spite of that, had managed to write a book. And that's what we'll be talking about today. Because on this show, I talk about island creatives of all sorts. And I know when I talk about creativity, sometimes people jump ahead and think that they have to have a certain level of talent, skill, education, whatever it is, to write a book, to create a song, to be an artist. And I know myself, because I wrote a book, Meeting the Muse After Midlife, I would sometimes have this internal dialogue that would say, well, you don't have a BFA, a Bachelor of Fine Arts. You don't have an MFA. You haven't been trained as a writer. But fortunately, it didn't really matter because I was writing. And the proof's in the pudding. I wrote a book. And so I was super fascinated to find out that David, despite his traumatic brain injury, had also written a book. I love the title because the title tells you more than you might know about David. The title is The Iliad of the Odd DC. And of course, DC stands for David Cole. And you could think, the odd. That's odd that somebody's calling himself odd. But then when you look at the title, you can also see he's referring to Homer, the Iliad of the Odyssey. So it took me a bit to get that, but I love the title. And I think it's a testament, David, to your wild and wacky and wonderful sense of humor that you have never lost. So welcome you both. It's really good to see you in person.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Now, I'm going to give people a little bit of the backstory, and just heads up, it's a little difficult because, as I understand, David, you had been a very bright, promising, I believe, high school student, 18 years old, when you went out for a bike ride. And in a few short minutes, everything about life changed because you had a strange encounter of the worst kind with a car. And it left the car in bad shape. It left you in worse shape.
I totaled the car.
You totaled the car. Well, I'm sorry, but that car deserved to be totaled. Fortunately, it didn't total you, although it had a major impact on your brain. And as anybody who has suffered even a small traumatic brain injury, as people do when they have car accidents or concussions inside of a car, you know, not on a bicycle, they take a long time to recover from if you ever do. So your life changed dramatically, but fortunately you've kept going and kept going strong. So, and it has changed what you could do. So given all that, how did you ever decide that you wanted to write a book?
Well, I began the university as a civil engineering candidate.
That was before the accident, right?
Immediately prior to the injury. I had just started school. And what I didn't realize was that you had to complete what is called basic studies. What's the early, what are the early classes called?
Like prerequisites to be able to go into the engineering program? Is that kind of the idea?
Well, okay, everybody has to. Yeah. What does everybody have to do? English.
Requirements. Let's just call them requirements.
Requirements, yes. Okay. Requirements. Now, I didn't realize that you began your life at the university doing requirements. And I thought that I was, you know, going in as a declared major of civil engineering.
So some of the details about where you were and what was happening, you capture really well in your book. I want to know, go back to that question of how old were you when you decided to write a book and what motivated you to tell your story?
Well, I began when I was probably 16, age 16. That's when I first got my driver's license. And that's when I figured I wanted to be a writer.
Back then. Wow.
Way back then.
And so were you in your, how old are you now, David?
Well, I was born in 62.
Okay, somebody do the math. That sounds like in your 60s, Wendy, you should know.
Somewhere in my 60s.
Yeah, about 63 maybe.
63. So you have lived most of your life with this traumatic brain injury. When did you actually start writing this story? Were you in your 50s or?
Well, I was right. I wanted to have it to have the information straight for the horse's mouth.
Ah.
And therefore, I began writing immediately, as soon as I could pick up a pen.
Amazing. So as you were in a recovery period from the TBI, you started noting what had happened and recording, you know, things that you could remember. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And when people come to me and say, what can you remember? What was it like? Do you remember anything? No, I don't remember anything, but here, this is what it was like.
Oh, amazing. Wendy, yesterday when we were talking briefly in a pre-interview, you talked about David's amazing memory, that there are things that he can remember, like, what is it, the presidents?
Presidents.
Presidents.
The numbers on his locker combination.
From way long time ago?
From high school.
From high school.
And he was
26, 16,
he was
two.
18. So he was like, he was about 6 months out of high school.
When this happened?
When it happened, he was like 3 months out of high school.
Okay.
And then, so afterwards, was that far away from the locker combination. And that was one of the first things. He could not tell where the house was, where he was living. We would drive right up to the house, and he wouldn't know that was the house.
Yeah.
But he knew the combination to his locker.
That's amazing. And that's so interesting, because I think the brain is a fascinating organ, and it's amazing how some pieces of it get
only
hurt.
Only when it's in tune, though.
What's that?
Only when it's tuned.
Well, when it's tuned, but
Or organ.
Yeah. I've learned, because I've also had friends who have dementia and Parkinson's and difficult conditions, that there are parts of the brain that may stay alive and well at the same time other parts of the brain have been destroyed. So sometimes for us, what we're trying to do is be able to activate the good parts, and because we can't bring back some of the parts that we've lost. And as I understand it, and you'll have to tell me, that you've maintained a pretty good social life. I understand you go to the senior center a lot.
Yes. Now, back in 80, 100 years ago, last century,
Sure, you can think, you know, and you know, when I was interviewing Mark Schrader, same deal. He had to stop and pause and think. But I was just commenting because, you know, I've also talked to Wendy a little bit, that you maintain a social life at the senior center where you are known for your great sense of humor and your good smile and your sparkling eyes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I mean, that I'm so well known.
Yeah.
I mean, so popular.
I think so. Yeah.
Because I came on board the island, already popular, and I'm sorry. I was popular with the metallurgy, and the makers of tires, joke.
You had a strange and intimate relationship with metal and tires, right?
That's it. Intimate.
Too intimate.
Much too intimate.
Strange encounter of the wrong kind and stuff. Let me turn to Wendy for a second. When did David start writing his book? When did this book, The Iliad of the Odyssey?
I don't know.
Ah, was he living with you at the time?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, he was not. He went back. First of all, he went back to high school.
Uh-huh.
They allowed him to do the senior year again.
Oh, wow.
And graduate again. So he had finished. He'd already graduated. But they allowed him to come back and kind of like pick up. Then he went on to the University of Colorado. And then he went to the University of Northern?
UNC.
UNC, Northern Colorado?
Right.
Yeah. And I wonder where I was.
I thought maybe
I was in outer space or something. I didn't know what was going on with him. He kind of, and you know, this is.
I was a rebel at the time.
Ah, so you were. And you were able to manage on your own for a while? Because the other thing, you know, a traumatic brain injury can make it really difficult to do the normal stuff of life. So,
yeah, it does. But it also gives you a reason to be a rebel.
Yeah, because you can always be different that way. Did you write the book all by yourself, or did you have anyone helping you with it?
I wrote it all by myself.
Wow.
I wrote it over and over and over.
Yes, I can imagine.
And I finally, when I was driving back and forth to my. Who would become my wife,
mm-hmm.
and the mother of my children eventually she lived in Colorado, but a ways away from where I did,
mm-hmm.
and so while I was driving to visit her one day, I went up to Mother's House Publishing, and that's where I met with Jackie
Haig.
Yeah.
Jackie Haig, H-double-A-G.
Yeah, the publisher of Mother's House Publishing.
Yeah.
And she thought you had a book in you, and she was interested.
Yes.
Well, that's so fabulous. That is so fabulous. Did it feel good to write a book?
I had always wanted to write a book, mm-hmm. but I didn't have anything to write about. Mm-hmm. Then I received some inspiration. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Because sometimes the process of writing a book can be transformative. It can feel good. It can change us when we get to put ourselves out on paper and actually see what we've done and see what we've gone through and see what we've accomplished despite the obstacles.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it sounds like that was part of your experience, that it was helpful to get your words out on paper.
I like to think that, yes.
Sweet, sweet. So have you been sharing the book? Oh, Wendy.
I learned just recently from David's younger brother a quote that fits here. It's trauma that is not transformed is transferred to both self and others. And he goes on to say, David transformed his tragedy, his trauma, by writing a book.
I love that, Wendy.
So he doesn't transfer his anger, frustrations to anybody.
I love that. Let's read that again. That is so powerful. Trauma that is not
transformed is transferred to both self and others.
What a great phrase.
And he says, David wrote his book, which transformed him from a victim to a victor, which it shows on the cover, I believe. And he goes on to say, some abused kids become abusers.
Yes.
If they don't get to transform.
Well, I know that's true in the case of people who have been physically or emotionally abused. I don't think of it thought about it in terms of somebody who had, an accident, something physical that was immediate and just broke apart life. But I think the same principle holds, that by working with it and owning it and transforming it, we don't pass it along. We're transformed. How are your kids? How old are they now?
Well, I have a daughter who is, how old is she?
She's about 26.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What year are we in? She's 27. Because she was born in 98.
Okay, 27. And you have a
son who was born in 2000. So he's 26.
Great.
26, yeah. And then my younger daughter is 3 years after him.
Is that so? Two children or three?
Three.
Three children. Wow.
Girl.
The great thing about a traumatic brain injury versus genetic diseases is you don't pass on a traumatic brain injury to anyone. How are your kids around it? I mean, are they able to work with you so that you can be a loving family despite the handicap?
Well, I married a woman who also had been injured in the head.
Mm.
And I probably did that so that I wouldn't, I would give her the opportunity to know what married life was like,
mm-hmm.
even though she was injured and her brain injury was in addition to her brain injury, she was physically traumatized.
Oh dear.
But she could be a mother.
It didn't make it hard to raise kids?
Oh boy. Let's not.
We won't go there. Just trying to imagine, because I think being a mother and raising three kids is hard in any circumstance, but when you're handicapped, when you've got real disabilities, all the more so. Yeah.
And you can't turn to your husband, me in other words, and say, take care of the kids.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to take care of kids.
Yeah, and plus you're dealing with your traumatic brain injury.
Right, yeah.
Wendy, what's it like to have David around your house? And you're now you're both on Vashon. The accident happened in Colorado, was that
Colorado.
It?
Yeah.
Boulder, Colorado.
But now you're living on Vashon. What's it like?
Well, it's...
I'm taller.
You're taller,
oh
yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You're a big, strong guy.
And I'm shorter. So I can't reach above the first shelf in the kitchen. There's many, many things I can't do, and David can. And he loves everything I cook.
Yeah.
Even when it's burned, he'll go, this is really great.
That's great.
So he's pretty darn easy, and he doesn't hold a grudge. He can't remember them. So
that is a good benefit.
If I do something he doesn't like, or anyone wouldn't like, he forgets. So that's good for me.
It is great, and it's actually a gift. You know, I've done improv theater, and one of the hard parts about improv is staying right now. You know, not thinking about what happened or where you're going, but just being right now. And it's actually can be an advantage if you naturally able to live in the present, because you're not plotting what's been and what's gonna be. You're just here, which is a lovely gift and all.
That's what I found difficult about going back to the university.
Yeah.
Post trauma was that I couldn't remember anything.
Yeah.
But here, this is what it was like.
Right. Well, the other part that I think is really inspiring, and I want to credit you both, you know, is that a lot of us worry what would happen if, you know, I lost part of my mind, or I started losing my memory, or something happened to me. You know, who would I become? But looking at you, David, you just look so alive, and your smile, your laugh is just so alive, and it seems to me, and you'll have to tell me for yourself, that you get a lot of joy in life, that going to Sporty's and having pancakes in the morning is fun, that there's a lot of good stuff. Is that true?
Pretty near, yes.
Yeah.
I would not wish this injury upon anybody, but I would. I wish that everybody would be traumatized as I have been, and to know what it's like, and be as unaware of what is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, nobody would wish a traumatic brain injury or the kind of accident that you endured on anybody. But sometimes there are hidden gifts in the worst things that we encounter. And even now, for the two of you to be able to live together and support each other and have a good life and go eat pancakes at Sporty's, you know, gives you blueberry pancakes. Yum. It gives you an appreciation, and that's part of why I wanted to invite you both to be on the show today because I think it, in a way, it gives courage to other people to know there's a way through, there's a way to find what's good in life, there's a way to still enjoy yourself, even though you've had to experience something that nobody would ever want to experience. So let me ask you now, if Wendy, can I leave your email in the show notes or a way to contact you in case anybody wants to read the book? They can find it through you. Would that
sure.
be all right?
My new computer should be hooked up on Friday.
Okay, that's great.
Well, you'll, otherwise, I wouldn't have email.
It's okay. So. You'll give me the best way to contact you. And the great thing, and shout out to the Senior Center, because they're lovely, wonderful organization. Maria Glantz, I'm talking to you and all your staff and all the people who are there. I interviewed Maria last year.
Marie Glantz?
She's the executive director.
I know.
She's a wonderful person. And if you want to meet David, come join their wonderful luncheons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30. I don't think you have to pre-register, and it is an absolutely wonderful group of people. So you can meet the real, and not necessarily the odd, D.C., David Cole, by going to the Senior Center, and I'm sure you'll find him right away. So I want to thank you both for coming, because it's a big deal to be able to talk.
Can I say that we have many copies of David's book, and people can have them free.
Oh, lovely.
We want it to get out there. Oh, there's copies at the library, in the Senior Center, the bookstores.
I love that. Great. Well, thank you so much. I'm inspired by what you were able to do, and I'm inspired to know the both of you. And thank you for enriching my picture of what it is to be creative on Vashon.
Yes.
Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.